Good morning. Today we're going to begin a new sermon series out of Obadiah. Obadiah is somewhere in the Old Testament, after Amos, I believe. It's the shortest book in all of the Bible, but I believe there's a lot of lessons in there. I'm only going to stretch this out to 4 weeks, John, I promise. But we're going to talk about some lessons that I think we can learn from this pandemic and talk about how it can apply to us today. I attended a webinar in April hosted by Johnson University on how the church can respond to COVID-19. It was Dr. Jody Owens who was the moderator, and he suggested preaching out of Obadiah. And so here we are, after some research and prayer. It's a unique prophecy because God is not speaking to Israel. God's message is to Edom. Many of you guys may remember that Edom is a country that was formed from another of Abraham's descendants. Remember Jacob and Esau? It was Esau who would be the father of Edom. Most of the prophets are written to Israel, but God had a special word to Edom about the same time of the fall of Jerusalem. And though it's a very short book, it's crammed full of wise counsel that I believe applies to us today. Let's start by reading the first four verses. It says, "The vision of Obadiah. This is what the sovereign Lord says about Edom. We have heard a message from the Lord. An envoy was sent to the nations to say, 'Rise and let us go against her for battle. See, I will make you small among the nations. You will be utterly despised. The pride of your heart has deceived you, you who live in the clefts of the rocks and make your home on the heights. You who say to yourself, who can bring me down to the ground? And though you soar like the eagle and make your nest among the stars, from there I will bring you down, says the sovereign Lord.'" Let's bow our heads and pray again. Father, these words from you to Edom, I think, apply to us today. I believe that your word speaks beyond the constraints of time. And I pray that you will just continue this mighty word in our hearts today. I pray that you will speak boldly and that you allow your spirit to move among us. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Don't stand so tall. Earlier this week, I got to thinking about cell phone apps, and I thought to myself, I'm pretty tech savvy. I bet I could make a cell phone app. So I Googled how to make an app, and there are several schools that you can attend, courses that you can take online, weeks of training to become an app designer. Lila, why are you shaking your head at me? But I thought, why would I spend thousands of dollars to take courses? I mean, I've made websites before. Surely I can make an app. I'll just watch some YouTube clips on it and figure this thing out on my own. Do you guys see how high above I was floating? I was brought to the ground because after 2 hours Tuesday night of watching YouTube clips on coding, all I could do is write the sentence, "Hi, my name is Jeremy." It was pretty sad. It didn't even have any color to it. Pride is a very dangerous thing. It can lead to very embarrassing moments like I had this week, or very dangerous moments that we read about here in Obadiah. Let's talk this morning about why pride is so dangerous. The mountains that surrounded Edom were twice the size of Buck Bald. Now, some of you have never been to Buck Bald, but I know that some of our youth here have been there. They've been on trips with the camp and have looked high over treetops, thinking about that concept. That is where Edom lived. It was twice the size of Buck Bald. Imagine Edom on top of that mountain looking down physically on Israel. Metaphorically, they were also looking down on Israel. During the time that Obadiah preached to Edom, many believed that Jerusalem was being raided by the Babylonians. Judah was being punished by God for their sin. And Edom, they stood in arrogance looking down on them. Do you remember the parable that Jesus told in Luke chapter 18? Jesus said to some whose were confident in their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. There were two men who went to the temple to pray, and one man was a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, "God, I thank you that I am not like other people, like robbers and evildoers and adulterers and tax collectors. I fast twice a week, and I give a tenth of all that I have." But the tax collector, he stood at a distance. The tax collector would not even look up to heaven. He beat his breast, and he said, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner." Jesus says that I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. And Jesus said, very similar words that we read here in Obadiah, "For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted." There's a former dean of Baylor University and their religious studies school by the name of Paul Powell. And he has this quote, "Pride is so subtle that if we aren't careful, we'll be proud of our humility. When this happens, our goodness becomes badness, our virtues become vices. We can easily become like the Sunday school teacher who, having told the story of the Pharisee and the tax collector, said, 'Children, let us bow our heads and thank God that we're not like this Pharisee.'" Don't stand so tall, is the message in Obadiah. Don't be confident, so confident in your own righteousness. But Obadiah was not only confident in their own, Edom was not only confident in their own righteousness, but Edom also was deceived by their current situation. They thought they had safety there in the mountains. And God is warning them through Obadiah not to be deceived by their comfortable living arrangements. If historians are accurate, Edom was completely destroyed by the Babylonians only 30 years after the fall of Jerusalem. That's only 3 decades after the vision of Obadiah. It reminds me of Jesus' warning of the parable of the rich fool. It goes like this: the ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest, and the rich fool, he thought to himself, "What should I do? I've no place to store my crops." He said, "This is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns. I'll build bigger ones. And there I will store my surplus of grain. And I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said, "You fool, this very night your life will be demanded of you, and then who will get what you have prepared for yourself?" Our life is temporary and materialistic. That which we gather here on earth, right? That can also be pretty temporary. Who knew that better than Job? Job had everything a man or woman would ever want here on earth. A large family, an abundance of wealth and land. It all was gone in a day. And in Job 14, we see man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower, is cut down. He fleeth also a shadow and continueth not. There was a wise man once who poured a glass of water and he dipped his index finger into the cup. And you could watch, right? You could see that in your mind as miniature waves would hit the glass and only halt seconds later. The wise man said that regardless of how important the world will ever view us, no matter how important you think your accomplishments are, history will only remember our name long enough for the waves of this cup to stop waving. Let us not be confident in our own righteousness or deceived by our comforts. I think the message of Obadiah is don't stand so tall. COVID-19 has opened our eyes to this truth, has it not? It caused us to remember that our lives are temporary, and in many cases, our lives are very short. We can have a job one day. It could be gone tomorrow. It has caused us to look inward at our own personal sin even. Just as Obadiah is giving Edom a chance to correct their lives, God is also giving us a chance to repent, to come back to Him. Edom would face judgment, and we will face judgment also. It was Major General John Sedgwick, they say, the commander of the 6th Army Corps during the Civil War. On May 9th of 1864, he was sitting under a tree making battle plans, and he got up and started walking towards his men, and a lone Confederate sniper opened fire, and the men scattered for cover. The major laughed at his men and boasted, "What men? Dodging for a single bullet, I tell you. They could not hit an elephant at this distance." They say that before the smile which accompanied these words had departed from his lips, there was a sharp whistle of a bullet terminating in a dull, soft sound, and he fell heavily to the earth and killed instantly. Because he stood so tall, right? Pride can be an embarrassing thing, but it can also be incredibly dangerous. And it applies to our current lives and our current situation. I mean, think about it. The United States of America has the biggest, strongest, highest funded military in the world. I've seen videos, I've read articles about the latest technology used by our military. It blows our mind, and yet, tiny little coronavirus. No human has ever seen, has led to a multiple list of domino effects that has caused our country to be shut down. People staying home, lives coming to a halt, businesses have closed, the economy has suffered. Many here within our own community have been laid off and felt the impact of that tiny virus that no military in the world could not stop. The biggest army, the smartest minds, the best leaders in the world have all been humbled. Don't stand so tall is something that we have seen clearly on display in our world today. It's a word from God that we need to hear right now. To guard against self-righteousness, right? To guard against thinking so highly of yourself spiritually. To guard against the materialistic sins of this world, of gathering all that you can to yourself and then losing it all in a day. Guarding against pride. I think it's a good time in our world to maybe pause and think about that. Just to think about how God has brought us down a notch or two. To be reminded that everything could change just like that. So I encourage you maybe to look inward and see how God is speaking to you. How God is opening your eyes to ways else. Maybe it's self-righteousness, or maybe it's materialistic pride. Whatever it may be, I encourage you to take some time just to self-evaluate, to see how God might be speaking to you through the difficult times that we're currently going through and that we'll continue to go through. God gives us those times. He gives us those opportunities. He does it not because he hates us or he hates this world or he's arbitrary. He does it to give us an opportunity to come back to him. The words of Obadiah were true. They were stern. But they also gave an opportunity for Edom to turn and come back. They would choose not to. They will face judgment because of it. We, on the other hand, have today. We have today where we can come back to God. And I pray that you'll do just that. Let's pray. Our Father, we are grateful for the word that you gave us this morning, that you will continue that word in our lives to be reminded that we should not think so highly of ourselves, to be reminded that we can't place our value in what we have, but what we have in our lives to give to you. And I pray, Lord, that those who are hearing this message, whether physically here or on the internet listening, we pray that you will, by your power, through your Spirit, continue the mighty work that you have started by displaying yourself as the one and only God, the one that we can gladly give our lives to, that we can gladly trust in. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.